Welcome to the show. It's Friday, March 5th. Welcome to Morning Invest, the only morning business news show that's not run by corporate billionaires. And we focus on you, not Wall Street. And we've got both sides of the coin today. We got a little Wall Street news and a little you news on the stimulus front. Kind of affects both sides of this. So if you want to support independent journalism and support our show, you can do so for free just by subscribing. That's all you got to do. Just subscribe. We do this show Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern time. We also have a daily morning newsletter that we publish, which is totally free. And so many of you are so kind about your responses to the newsletter. I really appreciate it. If you go to morninginvest.com, morninginvest.com is the website, and just put in your email address, you'll be added to our list. You'll get a welcome email address where we need to confirm you. So it's not a spam process. We want to make sure that you're a real person. And then you'll be getting our awesome newsletter first thing in the morning. If you're new to the list, you'll get your new newsletter on Monday morning. On today's show, Democrats make some big changes to the stimulus bill, both good and bad. We're going to be looking at the very latest stimulus news. And if Republicans manage to pull a few of these Democrats away from the party, it could alter things in a negative way. We'll look at that. Plus, the other side of the stimulus is on the Federal Reserve side. And the stock market saw a big sell-off as Wall Street got nervous over Fed Chief Jerome Powell's forecast. Yet, you know, turns out the economy is not good in certain quarters. It depends on what side of the economy you're on. Are you on the top of the K-shaped recovery? Are you Wall Street doing well? Or are you one of the 10 million or so that are unemployed? So Mitch McConnell, are you paying attention? Things are not good right now. Plus, Joe Biden has an opportunity to stand up and end the awful practice of fracking. A new study out today shows just how bad these chemicals are from these fracking wells. We're going to look at Pennsylvania specifically, but there are hundreds of petitions across the country this morning demanding that these fracking companies stop what they're doing because the amount of chemicals that are showing up in the bodies of human beings. Yeah, over 44 different chemicals showing up in the body. We're going to keep them honest this morning and look at President Biden's fracking policy. So that and more are coming up on the show today. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Webull. If you want to get two free stocks valued up to $1,850, you can do so right now by going to morninginvest.com/Webull. And good stuff. I mean, they are going to give you two free premium stocks after you deposit $100 into your account. $100 into your account. Now, it's not spending $100, you're just depositing $100, and you can take that $100 back anytime you want. But that's what gets you the two free stocks. And they're giving away Google stock, Starbucks stock, Facebook, Apple, premium stocks right now as well. So be entered in for your chance to get those additional premium stocks. They also trade crypto. That's where I've been buying a bunch of Bitcoin right now on Webull platform. They're adding additional crypto coins, so you can do it all, not just stocks, on Webull. That is my platform of choice. I use it daily. So check them out, morninginvest.com/Webull to get those two free stocks. All right, it's time for your stimulus update now on the show. Let's start with the Federal Reserve side of the stimulus. We'll get to that in a moment. We'll get to the Federal Reserve side of the stimulus, but that's all kind of tied together with what we're seeing on these jobs numbers. Because moments ago, we did get the brand new jobs report that just came out. And this is a black version of the Wall Street Journal page. I'm not sure why. But the U.S. economy added 379,000 jobs in February. Now, employers added jobs for the second straight month. Unemployment has dropped down to 6.2%. Okay, that's according to these Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers, right? And how many people have been added to U.S. payrolls across the country. But then, of course, we had the same numbers. We had, you know, similar 800,000 unemployment numbers from last week to this week. Another 740,000 people filing for unemployment. So there's a lot of weirdness in these numbers, right? And I think what Federal Reserve Chief Jerome Powell had to say yesterday to the Wall Street Journal really nails this on the head, which is that we are not out of the woods yet. These unemployment rate, which is determined by a separate survey, ticked down to 6.2% from last month. The jobless rate is down from a 14.8% peak back in April 2020. But of course, these aren't the real numbers, right? If you've watched my show for any length of time, you know that it's much worse than that, arguably double that amount. In February, though, most of the job gains occurred in the leisure and hospitality sector, which is a good sign, including the restaurant sector. There were smaller gains in temporary help services, healthcare, retail, and manufacturing. It says, according to these data points this morning, while hiring is showing signs of accelerating, the U.S. still had 9.5 million fewer jobs last month compared with a year earlier, just before coronavirus hit. So again, reduced business restrictions, people receiving vaccines, lower level of COVID vaccine infections, all of this is starting to maybe turn the tide. However, we're still seeing a huge amount of Americans unemployed, and we still also see a huge number of people being added to the unemployment rolls week after week after week. 745,000 last week. So we're excited about 393,000 or 379,000. Seems a little bit out of whack, doesn't it? One area I do want to call your attention to, and senior economic correspondent for the New York Times, Neil Irwin, said these are brutal numbers, especially on state and local government employment numbers, especially education. 39,000 state government jobs have dropped. Down 39,000 jobs. 32,000 of those are in the education sector. 44,000 local government, and 37 of those are thousand are in education. So education, like we don't, again, this comes back to the idea of funding, putting stimulus in place for state and local governments. So you want to argue against state and local? This is a direct relation. This is a direct correlation between that, between the pandemic and job loss, specifically hitting the areas that are going to matter most to our economy, the education sector. So, you know, it's interesting. You know, you can look at the Wall Street Journal headlines and say, wow, this is good news. This is Biden's first jobs report. But then if you dive into these numbers, like Neil Irwin has, basically the people who suffered a temporary job loss are coming back to work at a rapid clip, and permanent job losses are unchanged. So permanent job losses, gone. They're not coming back, according to this new data. Temporary workers who were like, you know, working at the hospital, I mean, working in hospitality, those are trickling back. Permanent job loss, permanent. And brutal numbers at state and local governments. So again, what depends on which mainstream media you're focusing on this morning. You can watch, you know, watch CNN. They're going to say this is great news for President Biden. It's his first month, and look, he's already doing what Trump couldn't do, right? You're going to see that on CNN. Fox is going to point out that, well, you know, we still have a long way to go. This is not good. And Trump had already put a number of things in place, which you're now starting to see hit for Biden. But underneath all of that is the truth, which is that state and local governments hammered hard, and temporary jobs coming back, permanent job loss, though, staying steady, permanently out of work. How many of you watching right now permanently lost your job? Let me know. Or how many of you have been recalled to work? I'd love to hear from you in the chat below. All right, let's talk stimulus stuff. And we're going to start with that Federal Reserve side of the stimulus, because yesterday the rich folks on Wall Street were looking for some good news from Fed Chief Jerome Powell, and they didn't get it. He said, today, we're still a long way from our goals of maximum employment and inflation averaging 2% over time. All eyes, though, were on this 10-year Treasury note yesterday, because it rose above 1.55% after Powell's interview yesterday with the Wall Street Journal. That it's at its highest level since before the pandemic. It was up almost a point, or almost 10% from earlier in the morning. Now, why is this so important? Remember, this 10-year Treasury note is the benchmark. It's the standard by which everything that we care about, car loans to credit card interest rates to mortgages, all of it tied to this note. If that goes up, trouble. The average rate on a 30-year fixed rate mortgage has risen above 3% for the first time since July. And guess what? So now the housing market's starting to show signs of weakness, because guess what? People aren't as quick to jump on those higher interest rate mortgages, and also to do a refinance on their property. Also not good, gas prices on the rise this morning. It's the rise of oil. So Jerome Powell yesterday noted that the U.S. had about 10 million fewer jobs than before the pandemic. I thought he was going to get on there and kind of sugarcoat things a little bit, but he didn't. He said it's going to take some time to get back to maximum employment. Here's Jerome Powell answering these questions on the economy, and Wall Street didn't like it. They got a little, they wet their diaper.
When people are vaccinated, when they're able to go travel and feel comfortable seeing their family again, there could be a big pickup in activity. Does that mean employment could get back to where it was before the pandemic sooner than you previously thought?
Well, the answer is I would hope so. So let me tell you how we define maximum employment. People focus on the unemployment rate, but it's really much broader than that, because if you haven't looked for a job in the last 4 weeks, then you're not counted as unemployed. You're counted as out of the labor force. So if you look at those who have left the labor force since the pandemic, and also those who are unemployed, then you get a very large number of people who are around the edges of the labor market. And it should be thought of as generally people who want to go back to work. It will take some time to get back to maximum employment. It took us many years to get there before. And that'll really just depend on how strongly the economy picks up once we do get past the pandemic, and once economic activity picks up and hiring picks up. Again, there's a lot of ground to cover to get back to what I would call maximum employment. We want to see wages moving up. We'd want to see that the gains in employment are broad-based, that different demographic groups were experiencing it. So we have a high standard for identifying what maximum employment is, and we think it'll take some time to get there.
So not good. He named like a number of different categories. Hardest hit communities. I mean, their businesses out, permanent job loss, getting these companies back in full capacity again, when you have people just coming back into the hospitality sector, working part-time at a restaurant. That's not what he's talking about. And so Wall Street was kind of like, okay, give me some red meat here. Give me some red meat. And he wasn't doing it.
But that is exactly the state we're trying to achieve, and we're trying to achieve it, you know, as quickly as we possibly can.
So just because we hit 4% unemployment, for example, if labor force participation was still low relative to where it was last February, does that mean we're not at maximum employment?
Yes. I mean, we'll look overall at a range of indicators, and certainly the unemployment rate and the labor force participation rate are two key ones. It's actually even broader than that, but certainly labor force, we've had the sharpest drop in labor force participation in many decades coming out of the pandemic. And that just means that there are quite a few people who are technically out of the labor force, but were working in February. So some of them will have retired, but the vast bulk of them actually want to go back to work, but they're not currently looking because perhaps the business where they worked is still temporarily closed or permanently closed. So the answer is yes. 4% would be a nice unemployment rate to get to, but it'll take more than that to get to maximum employment.
Someone in the chat, I mean, actually, let me see here. Carol Anderson in our chat says he makes it sound like the people left the workforce by choice, so they don't count. That's bull. Yeah, I mean, look, no one wanted to lose their job during a pandemic when their business closed. Exactly. And so, but the problem is that those numbers are not, it's hard to find these people. The problem is when these people aren't included in those numbers because they aren't actively trying to get unemployment assistance or, you know, having that weekly phone call with the unemployment office, et cetera, then they're left out of this whole system. And that's what he's talking about, is that these numbers, we might get excited about a 6.2% unemployment rate, but it's a fake number. And good for him for pointing that out. He talked about that about a month ago, and I was surprised that the Federal Reserve wasn't sugarcoating it. But, these numbers are way worse than we appear, what that show up in the Wall Street Journal or New York Times. They're worse than this.
Do you think we could get there this year?
Full unemployment. He said, do you think we could get to full unemployment this year? Watch his answer.
No. I think that's highly unlikely.
And that, my friends, is just one of the pieces that sent Wall Street spiraling yesterday. I mean, he didn't mince words. He also said last week that he doesn't see the Fed lifting its benchmark Fed's fund rate from near zero until three conditions have been met. He mentioned three conditions. He said a broad range of statistics indicate that the labor market is at maximum strength, nowhere near that, that inflation has hit its 2% target, not there, and forecasters expect inflation to remain at that level or higher. So we have a long way to go. And look, there could be a big stock market. People are saying it could be a crash. It could be a collapse. You might want to say it could be a correction. At this point, all I care about is where your money is. So if you've got your money in a 401k and you are tied to this stock market, I'd be concerned. As you know, I'm not a fan of the paper assets. And so to have your money tied to this volatile stock market right now, or tied to this, you know, tied to inflation, tied to the US dollar, unless you are a day trader who's watching the second millisecond by millisecond trades, I'd be very concerned. So please be careful with your 401k right now. Listen to Kathy Wood. She's really become like a rock star. With her portfolio management skills, I mean, up like 500%. This year, she expects to be up another 20%. She sees a big correction coming.
I agree with you, Scott. There will be a valuation reset. There will be fear, I'm sure, and we will use it to our benefit, concentrating our portfolio to our highest conviction names. But I think longer term, especially given the powerful growth trajectories that the five innovation platforms around which we revolve all of our research, that those trajectories are so powerful, that these multiples, that these companies are going to grow into their multiples a lot faster than most investors are now expecting.
She seems trouble on the horizon and a stock market correction. So when you have Kathy Wood saying that's coming, if Jim Cramer spending time on his show last night talking about it, others are calling it a crash in the stock market. Others saying, you know, Ray Dalio pointing towards April. Listen to these people who are watching this stuff daily and protect yourself. Protect yourself if you have money in a 401k. You may want to consider shifting that to a self-directed IRA, putting that, you know, or putting it into some sort of money market account, or, you know, I'm not a financial advisor, so talk to your financial advisor, talk to your CPA about it. But if you know that your retirement, and if you're nearing retirement, and it's tied to this volatility right now, and it's tied to, you know, the US dollar printing like it's going out of style, be very, very careful as this inflation is showing, you know, big concerns among Wall Street this morning. Let's talk of the other part of the stimulus bill.
Can I point something out really quick before we move on? If you go back to the picture of the guy that was interviewing the Fed chair.
Yeah.
That guy looks like a cross between Cameron on Ferris Bueller and Andrew McCarthy from Weekend at Bernie's.
That's funny you say that, because I thought similar. I was like, do I know him from somewhere? Cameron.
To cover. I mean, think about it.
Oh, he does look like from Ferris Bueller's, right? Cameron from Ferris Bueller's.
Cameron from Ferris Bueller, and then Andrew McCarthy. It looks like the cross between those two. Andrew McCarthy was the Weekend at Bernie's. He was an 80s actor. You'd know him if you saw him.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course. He does look like that. All right, let's talk stimulus bill now on Congress. So the other side of the stimulus. I mean, basically, the Fed chief yesterday saying, hey, we're going to continue what we're doing. For the next few years, we're going to try to keep these interest rates. This is where, you know, we're going to continue to funnel money in, and unemployment is bad. So basically, hey, Congress, you need to get on your side of this and get this stimulus bill through Congress. So Senator Schumer yesterday opening the floor debate on this bill, expecting that this is going to be a long few days, saying we cannot wait. We need to get this done quickly. Here is Senator Schumer, opening up the floor debate on this stimulus package.
There are green shoots, but unemployment is still over 6%, and 9%.
Why is that echo on this one? I don't understand that. I was trying to figure out that one earlier.
For African-Americans, the economy has lost 10 million jobs compared to a year ago. Tens of millions of Americans reporting thousands of dollars behind in rent and utility. And as Treasury Secretary Yellen and Federal Reserve Chair Powell repeatedly warned us, our economy and its recovery remain deeply uncertain. There are bumps, but mainly because of the stimulus bills we have done. We did a bill in March, and the May and June numbers look pretty good.
There you go.
Then sunk again over the summer and fall. We did a bill in December.
I can't hear it,
the January numbers look pretty good.
What's going on?
But that is not evidence that the economy is able to sustain things on its own. That is evidence that the federal government needs to continue its role to get us back on track. And we've come a long way, but we have a long way to go. The American Rescue Plan is designed to build on our early progress and finish the job, to help our country get through the final months of the crisis, and then, equally important, bring our economy roaring back.
So Senator Schumer there, starting off the push to get this bill done fast. But Republicans, though, are getting in the way. So Senator Ron Johnson, the fact you know it's bad when you are the butt of jokes on Jimmy Fallon's show, on James Corden's show, on every late night show last night. No one ever focuses on a senator, some random senator. But here Ron Johnson decided that, you know what, we're going to slow this thing down as much as we can. I'm going to be as big of a D as I possibly can, and I'm going to make this 600-page bill, I'm going to force the clerks to stand here on the floor of the Senate and read it out loud, page after page after page. Now, this isn't asking Chuck Schumer to read it. This isn't asking Bernie Sanders to read it. No, a poor little clerk is going to have to stand there, audiobook style, and read the bill out loud, because he says, we just don't ever really know what's in these bills. So that's why we need to have it read out loud. Oh, yeah. Did you really do the same thing when you crammed through your defense budget?
You know,
give me a break.
I would actually vote for that. Like, if they would, like, I don't think they should do it now because this stuff needs to get out. I mean, they're just filibustering us again, even more. But I think what you could do is you could make whoever proposed the legislation in a bill, they had to read their section.
Yeah. And then there we would know. So one particular member of Congress would have to get up in front of everyone and say, okay, on page 5 of this bill is a new bridge that we're building in Susquehanna, Pennsylvania. And that particular Pennsylvania representative would have to read the fact that they put this pork project in there.
And then that would come up and say, on page 27, we want to be able to portray Smokey the Bear with a cigarette in his mouth.
All right. Yeah, we're going after Asian carp. Asian carp. And then that video could be used as a campaign ad against that person. You know, Ron Johnson voted for Asian carp protections in the Smoky Mountains, whatever, you know. I agree with you on that. But to have some poor clerk right now, and you know what you're doing, you already know what's in the bill because you've been negotiating on it. You've had it now for 2 weeks. So you know what's in it. You've been looking at it. It's not a surprise. But he's doing it just to be a D.
Well, the thing
he's going to have some clerk.
If it doesn't inconvenience them, they're not going to change anything. Like, if there was a way we could make them have to read their section and inconvenience them, I guarantee they would start taking that stuff out because they'd be like, you know, it's not really worth the $25,000 you just gave to my super PAC. I'm not going to stand there and read this. It's going to be political suicide for me.
Yeah. William Marshall in our chat says, can you imagine Mitch McConnell reading this bill? It would take a week. Oh, my God. I think it would take a month. Oh, there's a provision in here to do that like that. Oh, that would be the most painful thing in the world. Could you imagine Mitch McConnell reading an audiobook? Oh my God. Put you to sleep. Anyway, here's Ron Johnson showing his justification for it.
10 hours or
and
so.
And by the way, I feel bad for the clerks that are going to have to read it.
No, you don't.
It's just important. You know, so often we rush these massive bills that are hundreds, if not thousands of pages long. You don't have time. Nobody has time to read them.
Mm. Yeah, so often we do that. So often we as Republicans ram these huge 1,000-page bills through that no one's read. But today, because it's the Democrats, and by the way, people are hurting, I want to slow up the process as much as possible. Because guess what? Their unemployment runs out on March 14th. So we are at a deadline. So the only reason he's doing this, by the way, make no mistake about it, the only reason Ron Johnson is doing this is because he's running for re-election. And he wants to show the people of Wisconsin that he is anti-Biden. He is anti-government spending. He was against Trump's $2,000 checks. Like he stood up, he was against Trump's $2,000. He said, we can't afford it. So he, make no mistake about it, the entire reason he's doing that is for donor money from his Republican donors because he's running for re-election. That is it. End of story, case closed. If you are a person from Wisconsin, will you vote for Ron Johnson?
I'm telling you.
Here he is trying to hold up this bill.
I'm telling you, like I mentioned earlier this week, they go to this long table and they decide who's going to be the bad guy. And they all sat there and they're like, look, Ron, you've not been in the public eye. You're kind of like a no name. You're up for re-election. This could be a win right. for you. We're going to have you hold this up by making people read the bill. Okay.
To me, yeah, you're probably right about it. I really believe it's like the WWE, you know? It's like Vince McMahon behind the scenes. He's like, okay, we got the Royal Rumble coming up. We got WrestleMania coming up. Who can we throw under the bus? Who's going to lose the title? Okay, Ron, you're going to be the heel. Okay, you're going to be the bad guy in this situation. Okay? You're going to come out and you're going to smash me over the head with a chair. Okay? And then The Rock is going to come in and he's going to knock you out. You know, you're going to lose the title. Okay? That's what's going to happen. It's like they have their whole planning meeting behind the scenes.
Yeah, Joe Manchin, it's going to be about 3-4 weeks. You're going to be in there. You're going to be the bad guy, but it's okay. Ron, you're next. And then let's see, after Ron, we've got Mitch. You're going to go out there again because you're one of the big players. It just seems so coordinated. It's just...
It is, absolutely. Adam L. says, I got friends in Wisconsin. They all agree, and they're speaking... And they're spreading the word about him. Good. Spread the word about him. Get him out. So the stimulus checks are inching along. No thanks to Ron Johnson, because he wants that entire 600-page bill to be read aloud on the Senate floor. Mitch McConnell, of course, also speaking out about this. He is hoping to try to get some Republicans or some Democrats on board to try to also stop this. If he does that, if he's successful in that, what could happen is an alteration of the bill. Altering the bill from $400 per week in unemployment benefits down to $300 in unemployment benefits. Some of the changes, though, that we saw overnight in the bill that are now permanent, well, at least until it goes to the House, a big change, of course, is the new lower threshold on the checks. So now for those people at the $75,000 range, that's going to be the cap for individual filers. That has now been dropped from where it came out of the House. That is now permanently a part of this legislation. We'll see if it goes back to the House and the House changes it. I doubt it. But another big piece of this, though, last night, the Democrats added a provision into this bill that changed it overnight, which now would make the student loan forgiveness piece of this bill not count as income. That's huge. So whatever ends up coming out of this, whether it's $10,000, $50,000, we're not sure, but whatever student loan forgiveness piece finalizes itself in this bill or crystallizes itself in the next few days, you will not have to pay that back or treat that as income on your taxes. It's a big deal. But there's plenty of Republican opposition to this. Senator Marsha Blackburn also came out and said that we're spending too much money on this. This is too high of a cost for the American people. We can't spend this kind of money right now because the economy is roaring back.
Clayton.
And now is just not the time.
Clayton, you keep saying the word Republican. The Republicans don't matter right now. The Democrats have control. Once the Democrats have control, there's not going to be any resistance. You know that. So I don't know why you keep saying that the Republicans are holding this up.
Well, that's the line they'd like to have us believe. Or at the very least, you know, if Democrats actually had a strong backbone in this and they acted like they ran the show. I mean, think about the Trump administration. Think about Trump and McConnell. Did they give a rat's behind what Democrats cared or wanted to do? No. They just steamrolled through a tax plan, through the reconciliation process. They didn't give a rat's behind about Democrats. So will Democrats bow? Will Joe Manchin? Will Kristen Sinema? Will any other moderate Democrat join Republicans in forcing the hand of Democrats to change the unemployment benefits from $400 down to $300? That's what I'm keeping my eye on.
So, you know, it's
a big piece of this.
Like, if you think about it, the whole narrative that the Democratic Party put out when they were running was get, especially in Georgia, get all of the Democrats in so that we have control, so that we don't have to worry about Republicans, and get the $2,000 checks out the door immediately. That's what they ran on. The whole campaign thing was about doing better than Trump. And now they're not doing better than Trump. Yeah. And they have control, and it still doesn't matter.
Right, and they're doing worse than Trump. So when Trump wants $2,000 for stimulus checks, and we're pretending that the $600 that already went out was the first deposit on that? No, 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 no. What you promised was $2,000 stimulus. The $600 was Trump's $600 stimulus. Where's the Democrat $2,000 stimulus?
You know, if
and
I
by
were...
the way, where's the $600? Where's the $600 a week in unemployment benefits that we were told was going to happen also? And retroactive. Didn't we hear about retroactive? It's going to go backwards in time. It's going to be
if
retroactive.
I would be out there on a campaign like going against this big time. If I were one of those guys that promised that and then it didn't happen because they didn't know. They thought maybe it was going to happen themselves. If I were them, I'd be out there going against this big time because that's political suicide for them.
Yeah. Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, who said, you know, if we get you elect us, checks will be out the door next week. $2,000 stimulus checks will be out the door next week. How'd that work out? A couple of things to pay attention to tonight. We'll be watching this, and I will be back tonight. Please make sure you subscribe to the channel because, well, first of all, we got a lot more news to get to today on the show, but please subscribe to the channel and turn on that little bell notification. I'll have an update for you later this evening, 9 p.m. Eastern time. I'll premiere a new video and we'll be live premiere with that video as to what's happening tonight on the stimulus. So please make sure you subscribe. But one thing to watch today, guys, is if Republicans do band together and if they can get, I'm telling you, if Joe Manchin jumps or Kristen Sinema joins them, there could be some big changes to the language as it heads back to the House of Representatives in this bill, and it would screw you over. So we'll see. And another big piece of this is the child tax credit. You know, under Biden, leading Democrats are not fond of this critique that's being floated around right now, but some policy experts are wondering that if some of the bill's $1.9 trillion could be used to ensure that that one-year reduction in child poverty doesn't expire after 1 year. Remember, this child tax credit idea that Biden's floating and they're pushing through could reduce poverty significantly in the United States, but it's only 1 year. And so the criticism is that after 1 year, poverty could double in the United States. Would Biden want that on his watch? Under Biden, poverty doubled. Or could they make this thing permanent? So that child tax credit of $3,600 per family for each child is permanent. That would be so there's a couple of moving pieces on this, folks. This is not done yet. You know, we're going to have to see if he wants to, how quickly they can get this thing through and keeping some of these changes, that are really important, like the child tax credit. Can they extend that beyond just 1 year? I could eliminate poverty. But wouldn't you hate that? Great, we had this pandemic year where we're able to lift up millions of Americans out of poverty. And then guess what? Time's up. sunset. We got to stop this sunsetting of these programs. So you have an opportunity this weekend to call your representative. Leave them a message. Let them know that you support the child tax credit, that you want $400 a week in unemployment benefits. Make them, you know, hold their feet to the fire. All of these constituents, because now it's going back to the House of Representatives. Well, they'll have to vote on this. So please, 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 please hold them to the fire on this. Got more news to get to. It's time now for Keeping Them Honest. And I want to talk about President Biden. It's time to keep him honest this morning. It's time for President Biden to reverse his dangerous position on the practice of fracking in the United States of America. You remember this from the presidential debate just a short time ago? Let me take you back. Can we go back to this crazy time? Remember this? It seems like so long ago, doesn't it? When he was pressed on this idea of fracking. We'll get to what that all means in just a moment.
Let me be clear, and I know this always comes up. We're not going to ban fracking. We'll protect jobs and grow jobs, including through stronger standards like controls from methane leaks and union workers and willing to install the changes. Unlike previous administrations, I don't think the federal government should give handouts to big oil to the tune of $40 billion in fossil fuel subsidies.
All right, so that's where President Biden is. He solidified that position after, of course, he was pressed on that by President Trump.
Let me allow Vice President Biden to respond.
I never said I oppose fracking.
You said it on tape.
I did. Show the tape. Put it on your website.
I'll put it on.
Put it on the website. The fact of the matter is he's flat lying.
Would you rule out banning fracking?
I do rule out banning fracking because the answer, we need other industries to transition to get to ultimately a complete zero emissions by 2025. What I will do with fracking over time is make sure that we can capture the emissions from the fracking, capture the emissions from gas. We can do that, and we can do that by investing money in doing it. But it's a transition to that.
I have one more question.
Really strong position on fracking there, right? It's the backbone you want. Well, we have a new study out this morning that shows just how pervasive these pollutants are in the human body from fracking. Don't know what fracking is? It's basically the way of drilling down into the groundwater, below groundwater, using a giant drill bit that goes down. It fractures the ground, and where you're able to pull out these gases, right? And the way that the energy companies spin it is that it's such a clean process. It's so nice and easy and clean, and it's better than coal. Well, then and when we drill this bit down in the bottom, we pour cement around it, and it caps it, and nothing will happen to you, the human body, or to our groundwater. It's totally clean.
When they say the same thing about oil pipelines, they're like, they're perfectly fine. They put in all these safety measures so that they don't leak, and every single one of them has leaked. Despite all right. those things that they say. So it's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember, I mean, the push for Deepwater Horizon oil drilling, right? Remember that? It's fine. No problems. Well, here's the new study out this morning. It shows new investigation finds fracking chemicals in the body of people in southwestern Pennsylvania. Yeah, it's pretty brutal. They go through in this study to find that there's multiple levels of nosebleeds, rashes, migraines, just some of the health problems reported in southwestern Pennsylvania residents who live near fracking activity. They experience physical, mental strain. Just one piece of the 2-year investigation done by Christina Marusik, a reporter for the Environmental Health News. Guess what? No one's thought before to do biometric studies on people. Like, they've only looked at, well, we're just going to check the groundwater here. Unexplained nosebleeds, rashes, migraines, just some of the health problems. And that's basically on the surface. They did a 4-part series. They relied on data where they looked at urine samples. They looked at, these are non-smoking families, by the way. And they found that the 40 chemicals most commonly used in the fracking industry, many of them were showing up in human beings. I mean, No one's thought to go and check to see if these chemicals are actually going into human beings. They're just checking the water. They've checked mostly in the urine samples. The most compelling findings, they say, were in the urine samples. We found evidence of some harmful chemicals in the air samples, but the worst was in the water samples. We didn't find anything that was off the charts compared to the available regulatory thresholds. They found in 40 different chemicals. And they took three separate urine samples from each person to have a better sense of what their exposure looked like throughout the summer, through different times of the year. They did over a 9-week period. They had the lab then look for chemicals on that list like benzene, toluene, other volatile organic chemicals from these sites. They, for example, all 20 people they looked at in this study exceeded not only the average, but also the 95th percentile. They had acid in their body. Here's one of the families. This family featured here on the front page of this story in Pennsylvania, where they found all of these chemicals in their bodies. This is Louise. Listen to her.
You know, I kind of suspected that there would be some things. I can honestly tell you that I was a bit surprised how much.
I was a bit surprised how much was in this. Bit surprised how much was actually in this.
There would be some things. I can honestly tell you that I was a bit surprised how much. I mean, I knew, but I was like, wow. And then, and I guess that's because we're just completely, you know, it just completely encompasses us. It's at every angle. It's not like we can look to our right or left and think it's not there. And then just anywhere that they go, whether it's school or whatever, it's there too. So,
watched a demonstration video of how fracking works, and it was produced by the energy industry. It's like, this is how it works. We set up these wells. They're on pace to like roll out thousands of these wells, by the way. And we use the drill bit that goes down into the water. We go below the groundwater so as not to contaminate groundwater. Oh, yeah. Really? And then when the drill bit is there, we remove the drill bit from the ground and we fill the casing with cement. That protects any seepage going into nearby communities or groundwater. It keeps it totally perfect. Yeah, really? Tell that to this woman.
One of the first problems observed in communities close to intensive fracking sites has been the contamination of domestic water supplies. The ecologist spoke to families who have been unable to drink water from the tap since the gas companies started fracking on land close to their homes.
And I didn't tell Ronnie anything about it until probably a couple of days later because it got worse. I thought maybe this will go away. I don't know what it is, but it didn't. And I said to him, I said, you know, we have a problem with our water.
Water is a commodity. You might not think it is when you have it and it's good, but when you lose it, it's gone. You'll never get it back. Like, we would take a glass of water out of the tap and it would have like an oil base on the top. You could smell it. It would smell like diesel fuel or some kind of oil thing. You know, I used to go to my sink and get a glass of water. I can't do that anymore. I have to put lotion on my hands 3 times a day from using the watery. Even wash my dishes or wash my clothes or anything.
Look at this guy. He's got the water from his tap that he's in his backyard. He can light it on fire. It's filled with that much. He just lights it on fire. Oh, and that's fine. So these companies tell you, there's no problem here. Nothing to see here. Ignore it. Don't worry about it. Morning piece this morning in the Morning Call newspaper. Your view. Biden should stick to his pledge not to ban fracking in Pennsylvania. From an environmental standpoint, utilizing natural gas from fracking means fewer emissions of air pollutants and carbon dioxide than its coal counterpart. New data from the U.S. Energy Information Administration shows that 33% decline in emissions. Right, because we're using fracking. Right, that's great. Now it's showing up, these chemicals. in people all across the United States who are near these sites. You can go to change.org. Go to change.org, the website, and I want you to type in fracking in change.org. You're going to see over 306 different petitions for fracking that people don't want it in their backyard. I saw Louisiana, Pennsylvania. Find your state. Go to change.org. Put in your state. Just do a search for fracking and name of your state. And I guarantee you, you're going to find a petition on there to end fracking in your backyard. Not, I mean, the list is endless. Even European countries have petitions on there where they're like, we do not want to be like the United States. There was one petition from a European country that said, we do not want, look how bad it is in the United States. We do not want to end up like the United States. Earthquakes as a result of fracking. Harmful chemicals in the atmosphere and groundwater. Polluting drinking sources. The list is endless. Don't be like America. So find your state at change.org and put in and add your name to a petition. Call your local member of your representatives. Tell them you don't want it in your backyard. But the thing is, no one's testing for this stuff. It took a journalist from the Environmental News to actually go out and do this test.
Well, and those people...
comprehensive test.
Those people that make those claims, they're marginalized. They're called conspiracy theorists. They're assured, oh, nothing's wrong. You're crazy. Your water's lighting on fire. That's just a very minimal amount. There's nothing to be alarmed about.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're paid off, by the way. There's a good documentary. I'm going to link it up in the description. It's called Fracking Hell. It's a documentary, some of which I showed you today. Go check it out and watch it. It's on YouTube, and that's free. And you can see, and by the way, in Pennsylvania, people get paid off. The fracking company just comes to your house, and they put like a cap on the thing. They put like a little smoke, like a chimney, where they try to get the methane out of your groundwater to escape, but it doesn't work. And then they're given like $100,000 to shut up and not talk about it. So they are stuck with this polluted water, and they've got a chimney with this like escaping methane in their backyard, and they just take $100,000 and they're quiet and they don't say another word. But they'll drink polluted water. They can't even drink their own water anymore. Awful. Awful. Awful stuff. All right. It's time for your news by the numbers now, shall we? All right. Our first number today is 61%. Yes, that is the percentage of people who support President Biden's plan to eliminate $10,000 worth of student loan debt. Interestingly, though, only 45% supported canceling the $50,000 worth of debt. This poll, we talked about it last night on the show, is interesting because it was done by Monmouth University, which is hardly a neutral party when it comes to for-profit education. So, that's odd that Monmouth University puts out a study and then all of the mainstream media run with this study today. It was all over Newsweek. Guess what? The mainstream media, I saw it on MSNBC. They polled 800 people. Monmouth University did. And they found that people support the $10,000 erasing of student loan debt, but only 45% supported canceling $50,000 worth of student loan debt. I love, I mean, come on, really?
They're probably polling millionaires.
Right. It says in the poll, I went through the polling data and it's adults. Yeah, they're polling adults over a certain age who probably don't have any student loan debt. They're like in their 50s. They're like, why would we wipe away $50,000 in student loan debt? I had to work my butt off to do it.
Are you a Monty Python guy at all?
Oh, I love Monty Python.
You remember The Life of Brian where Jesus is on the hill? He's like, the meek shall inherit the earth. And she's like, oh, that's so good. The meek, they should inherit something. That's good for them. They have it so hard, you know? And it's kind of like that. It's like these people are like, well, you know, They've got it so hard. I guess we could cave on 10,000, but we can't, like 50,000. We don't want them to have savings either. So let's drop that stimulus check. We got to drop the numbers. We can't have them have a savings. They can't have, we can't let them get ahead in any way. So what can we do? Let's just lower it all.
Right. Let's just pay lip service to it. I mean, that's how they keep you in this cycle. They don't want you to be wealthy. It would undermine their entire business model. They don't want you to get prescription drugs that are cheaper. The prescription drug company's profits would plummet. They don't want you out of that cycle of poverty. It's how they make money. They make money off of poverty. Our next number today is 2.5 million. That's how many followers the folding lady has on TikTok. Do you follow her? I didn't know about this lady until today. People have become addicted to watching this woman fold clothes. Her clips now explain everything from sweaters and jeans to folding towels. She folds them in half. Man, that looks so... I'd love if she would come to my house and do this for me. That's how many followers. So that's how you get followers on social media. 2.5 million followers. Just fold stuff. And people literally will sit there and watch these videos like over and over and over again. It's like folding porn. I could see how hypnotic it is. I want her to come to my house and fold some stuff. And finally, $105. That's how much it'll cost you, friends, to buy a fresh bottle of air from the United Kingdom. That's right. This company is selling fresh air, and people are buying it. You can get fresh air from Cornwall in the UK.
What was that Disney show where they were selling air? Wasn't there where they were selling canned air?
Was that in Up? No, not Up. The Wall-E?
Oh, yeah, Wall-E.
Where they would... Yeah, they would sniff in the fresh air because everything was so polluted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fresh coastal air from Great Britain, $105. And in Euro, it's $75. But look, that one's sold out. 70 milliliters of fresh air. Oh, it was the Lorax.
Oh, yeah, the Lorax. Wife, yep, Natalie, yep, yep.
Weighing in on that. Oh, and Spaceballs also. Remember Spaceballs? They were selling air, weren't
yep,
they?
Yep. Canned air. Yep.
Spaceballs, canned air. Yeah. Yeah. There's your news by the numbers. Let's open it up for some super chatting, huh? Grover says, let's do it. Grover's ready.
He's just still trying to figure out that rug. I think I like it.
I know. He's like, what's going on with this rug? What's going on with this rug? All right, we got 24 new channel members today. Thank you guys for becoming a channel member and supporting independent journalism, covering stories you won't see. By the way, CNN is not going to cover this fracking story. They make too much money from big oil and big gas companies. They are not going to be covering this story. Try to find mainstream media organizations that will cover this story about pollution. It takes shows like this to be able to cover this stuff. And so when you support independent journalism, we get to cover these stories that are really important for the future of our planet and our future of our children, our drinking water.
All right, I'm going to go through the new members really quick. We got Step Go, Adam L., Rosemary Bradford, Susan Radke, Daniel Pope, Jessica, Laura Spencer, Kafka Stills, Letitia Holmes, Sean Adams, Monica Woods, Alex Montova, Jamal Burton, Tanya, Betty Thomas, Keith from Vermont, Melissa H., Mark McClendon, Will Cross, Madison Dirks, Edward Mate, Grims. Drimskull, hey, welcome. That's a viewer from my channel. Will Cross, Mark McClendon, Melissa H. There you go. Thank you and welcome aboard, new members.
Welcome, welcome. Love it.
The voice of David.
Thanks to the upwards of 12,000 of you or so that watched today. I really appreciate it. So let's dive into some super chats now.
Ralphie Martinez.
Answer some of your...
$4.99. Hey, Clayton, love the show. What do you think of automation in jobs? Will this hurt job market for people struggling now?
I mean, look, automation is not going away. It's not going anywhere. We just have to adapt. I mean, you know, and in many ways, automation has already been accelerated. It has been going, has been accelerated for years anyway. And it also depends on some of the immigration policy we have in the United States. You know, a lot of the automation jobs, people are saying, oh yeah, Americans want those jobs picking strawberries in fields. No, they don't. And so what it forces these companies to do is to find machines that'll do the work that that immigrants were actually doing in the United States, because Americans didn't want that labor, didn't want to do those jobs. Like Napa Valley, for instance. Again, I bring up the story, but interviewing a Napa Valley winemaker that said, you know, we've had to move to automation here. We had to move to these machines to sort the grapes because under the immigration laws under President Trump, they had to go back home, and now they couldn't find anyone else to sort grapes.
Angela Dixon, $5. Good morning, Clayton. I love when you do Forrest Gump. It's so funny. Let's hear it.
Forrest Gump. Those look like comfortable shoes. I bet if I remember real hard, I could remember my first pair of shoes.
Chitty Jones, I survived COVID only to lose a toe. $2.
What?
Survived COVID.
A toe?
Only to
you lost
a toe? It wasn't used in The Big Lebowski, was it? Man, that would stink. Like to go through. It's like people go through. It's like you got your worst hardship, the worst thing you could go through in your life. You lose your job, the government's not helping you, and then you lose a toe.
Yeah.
Amy Williams, $4.99. Joe Manchin needs to be called out about his small business and hotel in West Virginia and the real reason he doesn't want to raise the minimum wage. Evelyn Monroe, $5.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, I mean, he owns partial in a La Quinta in West Virginia. And so he pays them $8 an hour. Imagine that. So you don't want to raise wages on those people in West Virginia. They're doing just fine. They're doing just fine. Really?
HC with the $2.99 says, me. I don't know what that was responding to, but thank you. Shirley Lopez with $5. Terry LaRock with $5. Should we use our 401k to buy a house outright? Terry, you asked that yesterday, I believe, and he answered. But if you want to kind of touch on it again, Clayton.
Yeah, I would not look. I would use your 401k and I would seriously pay. First of all, I'm not a fan of the 401k at all. Okay. I'm not a financial advisor, so seek your own advice on your own personal finances. But I got rid of my 401k a number of years ago. Couldn't wait to get it out of the stock market. Okay. And all of the hidden fees that you're paying in that vehicle. And I moved it into a self-directed IRA, fully self-directed IRA, which allowed me to invest in real estate, gold, anything, Bitcoin, etc. I am not a fan of using all of your money to buy a property you live in. I mean, if you can use other people's money, bank money, interest rates are so stinking low. If you want to use a portion of that money as a down payment, perhaps, but I would use definitely other people's money, banks' money. It's essentially free money right now. The interest rates, near 0%. Why would you put all of your money into a non-performing asset like your home? A home you live in is not a performing asset.
Rochelle Condon, $4.99. Yes, I lost my job in September and still has not been able to find a job because my child is learning from home. Wow, what a situation that would be. Jason Aubrey, $4.99. Yeah. My wife lost her job as an ER nurse. She has since gotten a new job in home health care. Well, that's good. I couldn't imagine having to find a job right now.
Yeah, no.
Crystal R, $5. I wish they would stop taxes for unemployment. How am I supposed to pay without a job?
Income tax for unemployment. How am I supposed to pay without a job? Exactly. It would be nice, Crystal.
Anna Gug, $4.99. I'm one of those people that is not included in the numbers. Brooke Jones, $1. Go ahead.
I'm curious, in what way, Anna? Is it because you lost your job, or you've like your job is gone, collapsed, and now you can't look like that business is gone? So what do you do? And therefore, you're outside of those numbers. Exactly.
Craig Davenport, $2. Did you ever move back to America? Hey, Coming to America just came out, part two, yesterday.
Oh, yes.
I got to watch that, by the way.
Yes. No. The answer is no. No intention of that.
Beverly Frank, $5. Clayton, do you live on the East Coast of the U.S.?
No, I don't anymore. No, we moved from the East Coast of the United States. We still have our place in Pennsylvania. So I guess up in the mountains of Pennsylvania, but that's not the East Coast of the country, like not New Jersey where we used to live.
Brandon Wanden. Nice. $1 super chats. Thank you. Carolyn Wheeler, $5. Okay, so they read it. Will they still have time to pass it? And about 1,000 question marks.
Well, they have not read it yet. I mean, Ron Johnson is going to have them read it on the floor. And it's going to start, I don't know, once the debate stops on it, I mean, I guess it'll start tonight. I mean, that's why I want to keep my eye. It's going to be a long weekend, folks. I mean, they have no time to waste. Again, they're up against this March 14th deadline. Then they've got to read this thing. I mean, they've got to read it page for page on the floor of the Senate, thanks to Ron Johnson. And he says he feels bad for the clerks that are going to have to read it. Sure he does.
10 hours or
and
so.
And by the way, I feel bad for the clerks that are going to have to read it.
I say with a smile on my face. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Jennifer Miller, $5. Thank you for all you do, Clayton and David. I've been blind until I ran across your show 2 months ago. Now when I see CNN, all I say is lies, lies, lies.
Awesome.
I love seeing that. Rochelle Condon again, $4.99. How many do you really think we're going to sit there and listen to the bill the entire time? I think very few, if any at all, probably.
No, they won't be even in the room. They're not going to be there. They're going to leave. And it's going to be the poor clerk that has to just sit there and read it. No one else is going to be in the rigging room.
Except for the other clerks that, like, they're all like send their lackeys. But it's like, that's why if it doesn't inconvenience them, that's going to, it's political theater. It's more filibustering. This is just filibustering, not called filibustering. And the thing is, if we made them read the bills and they each read their own section and they had to read the entire section, I think that would be a brilliant way to make, first of all, keep the bills smaller, because they're going to be like, I'm not putting anything in there if I got to read that. And they would be more reluctant to pass stuff. I guarantee it.
Yeah. Mark McClendon, he says something in the chat here. He says, a home can be a performing asset. It can be only if you pull equity out of the property. Or if you live in like a duplex, okay, and you're living in one half of the house and you're renting out the other half. But a home you live in is not a performing asset, okay? A performing asset puts money in your pocket every month in the form of cash flow, okay? That's why I'm a bit very bullish on real estate investing. You know, I've got a whole YouTube channel just on real estate investing. I'll link it up below. But if you go to youtube.com/MorrisInvest, youtube.com/MorrisInvest. That's where we talk about real estate investing specifically there. But
isn't that,
you know, again,
boot camp,
let me pull
right
this
there?
Up here. What did I do?
Is the morninginvest.com/bootcamp, isn't that about real estate?
Yeah, I mean, that teaches you to get your finances in order. If you guys want a free, it's like a 30-page book that we put together, and it's a week-by-week boot camp. 90 days to take you from like how to get your finances in order, understanding what performing assets are. It's totally free. Totally free. If you want that download, it's morninginvest.com/bootcamp. Grab it. It's totally free. Thousands of you take advantage of it. Again, it's just a PDF. And each week we give you lessons on what to do. We spend a lot of time building that. So please grab it for free.
T. Johnson, $10 super chat. Clayton, why hasn't anyone asked Biden about Harvard stating only 3% of their students use federal loans? Biden said he doesn't want to do it for those schools.
Good point. Well, because there's not an opportunity. I mean, you know, again, they could ask this in a in one of the press conferences of Jen Psaki, but we had that question that was asked the other night a few weeks ago at that town hall meeting, right? That town hall meeting, let me see if I can find it for you, was when Biden was asked whether or not he would support increasing the amount of money for student loan deferment or getting rid of. And he said, no, he's not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because, you know, so many universities, he said it would, you know, a lot of people that like go to Harvard and other things, and it just depends. And he was wishy-washy on his response, of course. But he mentioned in that press conference, or he mentioned during that town hall, that Harvard, you know, we can't be having people that are going to Harvard getting $50,000 in student loan debt when someone going to a different university is not going to have that same. But that's garbage because, as you point out, only 3% of people that actually go to Harvard use a federal loan. So it's a very small fraction of people going to Yale and Harvard that would have this affect them. It's ridiculous.
Sherilyn McFarlane, $4.99. Clayton, have you heard anything about Mitch retiring? I heard something on TYT this morning.
Yes. So Mitch McConnell, apparently, according to a report, is circulating a list of names. We actually included it in our newsletter this morning. If you read our morning newsletter, he's circulating a list of names of people that he would like to replace him when he leaves. But he just won re-election. But he is old. He's getting up there. And he's compiled a list of people that he wants to replace him. And he may consider getting out of there sooner rather than later. I mean, how much more time does he want to spend? And by the way, he's in the minority. That's not as much fun. If you're in the minority, he's picked Daniel Cameron, state attorney general in Kentucky. Also, former United Nations ambassador Kelly Kraft, who is a billionaire and a coal magnate.
Darshell,
whose billionaire coal magnate husband is a major McConnell donor. Isn't that shocking? Her husband is a billionaire coal magnate and a major donor.
It's almost like some kind of revolving door or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't imagine that, right?
Darshell Williams Durr, $2. Thank you. Brooke Jones, The Clerks, $5. The Clerks started reading the bill yesterday. I listened for a few hours. I heard nothing crazy. Everything is related to CV and the economy.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so they did start last night. I don't know when they're going to finish. Let me see if we have an update. They probably just started up again this morning.
Thursday.
I don't know how long it's going to take them to do it. Yeah.
Do they let the clerk go to the bathroom? Like...
so cruel.
It is cruel. Shannon Doherty from what was that show? 90210. $4.99.
Yeah.
So the child tax credit thing is actually in this bill? I thought it was just an idea Democrats were floating around.
No, it's in the bill. And it would last for a year. The point I'm trying to make is they should try to include it so that it's goes beyond the year, because you're going to see this poverty level go down significantly among children in the United States with this. But then what happens when it expires in a year? Goes back up again.
Raimundo Jimenez III, $5. Definitely not a Trump person, but those who thought Biden would make things better, shame on you. You know, it's kind of like, at what point are we actually going to realize that they never, like, tell me, Clayton, the last time that a candidate delivered on their promises. Tell me the last time that actually happened. You think it would, did Carter deliver on his? Was it him? Like, how far back do we go? Are we going to Kennedy? How far back?
I mean, I always go back to what Democrats and Republicans were able to do together during Bill Clinton's and Bill Clinton's era and have passed a balanced budget. Listen to Alan Greenspan, pass a balanced budget that Republicans and Democrats could get on board with, where we actually had a surplus in the United States. But when's the last time we had, look at Obama. Here's a guy who said he was going to end foreign wars. He was going to bring troops home. And then what did he do? He gets in office. He ran on that. He gets in office and expands our footprint in war around the world.
He expanded the drone program by like 400%. And just to know, he could have completely, like, this was a Bush era policy and he could have ended it. He had every power he needed to end it and he expanded it by 400%.
Yeah.
Vensis,
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I just was reading a new headline just out this morning. It says it's not just the minimum wage. When it comes to the White House agenda, some Democrats fear that Biden is willing to dream big but won't fight hard. That's like, yeah, so he'll talk big. And then when a push comes to shove, oh, minimum wage, fracking, and ending foreign wars. No, I'll dream big and talk big, but I'm not going to actually act big.
Somebody just said Biden hasn't been in office for 2 months. Calm down. We've already seen what we're going to get after 2 months. He's setting a very bad precedent.
Right. We have an opportunity, right? We have an opportunity right now for President Biden to stand up and push for $15 an hour minimum wage. Use his political capital, having just won an election and a Democrat controlled Senate. Push for $15 minimum wage. He backed off. He's not going to stand up to the Senate parliamentarian. Yes, there are some green shoots. There are some good signs. He's standing up for workers. He's pushing for strong unions in the United States. A great statement from him earlier this week. I praised him on that. But when I see, like, if I'm president of the United States and someone walks into my office and says, Mr. President, we just got a new report out and we want to confirm it with our own team here, but this is troubling, Mr. President, that in fact now, because of environmental and new investigation, people that live near fracking sites are being found with chemicals in their bodies. Now, I know, Mr. President, you said you weren't going to ban fracking. Is it time for you to reconsider your position on this? I would say yes. Okay, bring me all the data. Let's analyze this. And yes, I'm willing to go on this. I'm willing to fight. Let's do it. But kowtowing to big business.
Vensis, $5. Do you think we are headed towards a world like the one depicted in the 2013 movie Elysium, starring Matt Damon, might explain UFOs?
I know I haven't seen that movie, so we got some drilling here happen at the at the News Nest studio.
I thought somebody was like making a smoothie or something.
Right. Yeah, can you stop making cappuccinos over there? You got an electrician fixing stuff. Sweetie Man says, oh, they finished already reading the 600-page bill. It took 10 hours and 45 minutes.
Barbara Waite, $5. Great. With regard to fracking, there are alternative fuels and sources of energy. Do you know of any alternatives to water?
Yeah. Right. Wine. So, since we can't drink water anymore because it's all fracked up, let's just start drinking wine or Yingling from my favorite beers from Pennsylvania, Yingling Lager.
So somebody said, it's interesting to me that you complain about destroying the earth because we drill for oil. Everyone wants sustainable energy. What is going to happen to earth when solar panels are no good in 20 years or windmills when they no longer work? By the way, you need oil for windmills. I know, send them to some landfill where ecosystems will be affected. I really dislike the argument. We need energy. Yes, no matter how you get it, something on earth will be affected.
It's a great argument. I mean, you're right about the windmills argument. Windmills are massive, and when they're broken, we don't have a good solution for recycling them yet. Yes, you're absolutely right about that.
Mark Anthony.
But solar panels, we have, you know, we're doing solar on our place because we want to be completely self-sufficient, and so that's our goal, is to be able to do that and not have to rely on, not have to rely on fossil fuels. The technology has come so far now. And yes, hopefully we can find a way that we can actually be recycling these photovoltaic solar cells so that we're able to reuse those materials. You know, companies are making great strides. I mean, look what Apple has been doing to try to make sure that almost every piece of their phones and computers are now recyclable. where they're actually, they, you know, they'll take them back from you and they take them apart and reuse the rare earth metals and so forth. But we still have a long way to go. So, but we're making, I think if we push, and by the way, if we had a government pushing in that direction, that's the thing. We have so much subsidizing of oil and gas companies in the United States. Imagine what we could do if we actually turned our attention to using that money towards renewable infrastructure. How much we could advance. Heck, we discovered solar panels because of NASA figuring out a way to make sure that we had renewable energy on the Mars for the Mars rovers. The reason we even have solar panels is because the government. So they can do a lot of good stuff if we just marshal those forces properly.
Mark Anthony, $4.99. Government wants nothing good for us. And seriously, what can we, the people, do? Honestly, the Constitution is outdated because we, the people, don't exist. Shelly Durnell, $5.
LL says, LL says, we need 0-point energy devices. Yeah, I agree with you. Just like we've been reverse engineering the craft at Area 51. Like the UFO craft, we have those materials from those UFOs. We've been studying them for years.
Shelly Durnell, $5. Why don't they wipe out 25,000 to 30,000 in student loan debt? Why don't they wipe out 100,000? Like, why don't they? Because they don't really want to help us.
Right. They could do whatever they want. The answer is they could do whatever they want.
Like, what do we have to do?
But again, you have these for-profit universities.
What do we have to do to shut these people up? What's the bare minimum we can do to shut them up?
Give them 10,000. You know? Give them a little bit.
James Kopp, $4.99. Thank you. Seth Ingalls, I'm $5. I'm a conservative and you are slowly changing my mind.
Awesome.
James
Kopp. Like my boy here.
Yeah. Let me move that. James Kopp,
$4. He got the same shirt.
Cool looking shirt. James Kopp, $4.99. Yes. I started investing with Acorn. Smart or not?
I have an Acorn account. I don't really use it much. Acorn, if I'm not mistaken, unless they've changed things, they will. It's basically it'll round up your account. So if you've got money, let's say you've got spare change. Let's say you go to the store and you buy something, a candy bar for $1.99. What'll happen is it'll round it up. So that penny goes into your Acorn account, basically saves that money for you. And so it's kind of like you forget you even have it, but it keeps like accruing, like, and you can get a debit card, a Visa card and so forth. I haven't used it in a long time. I think, you know, you should check out Webull. I would definitely get 2 free stocks. Try it. Go to Webull, morninginvest.com/Webull, get 2 free stocks and start investing in some crypto. You know, start learning how to start investing in some of those altcoins out there. Make some real fantastic money. Check that out. But yeah, Acorns is a good way to, like, you know, keep track of that spare change, I guess. And it's a good little savings account. I don't know. I haven't used it in years. I have an account, but I haven't checked in on it in a while.
$2 from Nicole Johnson. Thank you. $2 from Sharon Taylor with the number 2. She just put 2 in there. Thank you. Kitty Jones, $5. It was the secondary thing along with COVID, a horrid infection. That's that lost the toe. Secondary thing along with COVID. Man, that's sorry to hear that. Michael Collins, $5.
Yonda says, sorry, Yonda says Chime does that also. The rounding up of money. So like Acorn. So I use Chime. So, you know, check out Chime as well. But yeah, it's good. You know, check it out. Go ahead. Sorry.
Michael Collins, Clayton for president. Clap, clap. Natasha Frelin, $4.99. I'm getting PUA because I lost my job when I had to stay home with my son. Now school is going back 5 days a week and I'm still unemployed. What now?
Exactly. Son goes back. Now that you've lost your job and now did the company close? Is out of business totally?
Shared 74, $5. Have you heard about the recent catalytic converter thefts? I purchased one yesterday, $7.50, but the material on the inside is worth $27,000. Sell it. That actually happened there. So I'm in Nextdoor. It's an app that's kind of like around your neighborhood. And that's actually happening in my, like, somebody went to the grocery store here in this small town that I live in, a rural town, and somebody stole their catalytic converter while they were inside.
That's crazy. So a catalytic, you're saying, I've heard about the, have you heard about the recent catalytic converter thefts? I purchased one yesterday for $750, but the material on the inside is worth $27,000? Sell it? How is that possible?
Maybe 2,700. Why would that's a typo?
Yeah, no, I haven't heard of that. I mean, I'm in real estate, you know, and I heard certainly during the recession, people break into empty houses and steal copper. You know, we have a shortage of copper in the United States, so people sneak into houses and cut out copper pipes. You got to be careful of that stuff. That's awful.
Brizzy 864, $5. Hey, Clayton, David, and Grover, do you think they will include high school students who are 18 ever in anything? I mean, it's not like high school students cost money, you know? They don't eat or anything. They don't eat much.
Right. Yeah. No, they're, you know, it's like the whole minimum wage argument that, you know, that all these guys are making. Lindsey Graham and others are saying, they're like, you know, come on, these low paying jobs at McDonald's and so forth, they're getting $7.25 an hour. They're in high school. They don't need money. Okay.
Seth Ingles, $10. I want to be with a party, a conservative progressive party. Katie O'Brien, $5.
Conservative progressive.
Yeah. They must pass before the 13th, so everyone that lost their job on March 14th, the start of 2 weeks to slow the spread, don't completely lose unemployment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's why they're up against this deadline of March 14th. It's a big deal.
Sharon Taylor, $5. When are we going to get our raise in SSA check like President Biden said that we were going to get if he became president?
Good question. It should have been March. I think if I'm not mistaken, March was supposed to be the time when that was supposed to change, or if it's tied into the COVID bill. But I think it was standalone, if I'm not mistaken.
Nicolette Conus, $5. Public service announcement. Job seekers can easily earn money as a substitute teacher. Schools are screaming for help.
Yeah. Did you see the story I featured this morning where I talked about the amount of job loss at the education level? So when we look at these jobs numbers, I mean, buried in this data is that state and local governments on the education sector have been destroyed. So yeah, if you have a skill, if you know how to teach history or something, you're great at math, they could use substitute teachers.
Nicole Damon, $5. Government don't care. I had COVID and now negative. I still feel daily the strain it has on my body, the cough, the headaches, the pain, but government says we're okay.
That's awful. Sorry to hear that. Yeah, we still don't know the lingering effects. They're still trying to figure out this brain fog issue. Let me know in the chat. Do you, like, have you been experiencing this? They think they're getting closer to figuring out why, but there's like people who've gotten COVID are like, there's like a fogginess in their brain. Have you experienced that? I'd love to hear if you have. It's awful.
Madison Drykes, $5. Both my husband and I are military, and with tax deferred in 2020, we owe $1,500 on our taxes. I feel like tax deferral was a terrible thing to do.
Yeah. I agree with you. Also, I think the furloughing, the mortgage furloughs are also a problem. I think, you know, all you're doing is you're kicking a can down the street. And that tax deferment that was an opportunity from some of those companies, I said here on the show, I don't know what company is going to want to do that. Because now you're going to say, we're going to give you the taxes now. Like, you'll have extra in your paycheck now. But then in the spring, now you're going to pay double back. So you're going to get hit in the spring and feel like in the new year, and you're going to feel like, oh my God, now my check is way less than I need it to be right now. So I thought it was a stupid idea under the Trump administration, the executive order. I thought it was a joke.
Michael Willis, $5. I got laid off. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I didn't say anything.
Oh, I got laid off in December, was making $872 a week, now doing Uber, barely making $100 a week, worried about taxes or losing my truck.
Awful. Yeah, and you might not even show up in the data either because you're doing part-time, you know, contract work. So when we look at people who are on the fringes of the unemployment, that's exactly what Jerome Powell was talking about. It's these people on the fringes of the unemployment that aren't being accounted for, and that's why this data is so much worse. That's why this unemployment data is so much worse.
Shirt 74, new member, and Kowaleski, new member, welcome. We got David Ulmer as a new member. And Brian Santa. Beverly Frank, $5. If you don't live in the States, then should you be so critical if you left? I mean, no disrespect.
Hell yeah. What does it have to do with anything?
Yeah, you're still a citizen.
Yeah, I pay my taxes.
Yeah, I think it's funny that people think that if you don't like live in a country, like look at all the people like that cover Canadian politics and stuff here in the US, like even Kyle Kalinske and people like that, they'll cover Canadian politics sometimes. It's just, you know, it doesn't matter where you live.
Yeah. No. No, look at Glenn Greenwald. You know?
Yeah. Swedeman, $62. Thank you. Cher Marie, $5. I often say, talk big game, shoot little rabbits. Aw, shoot little rabbits. Paul Fiesel, welcome to the membership. Swedeman, $5. Clayton, they finished reading the 600-page bill. Oh, you already read that one.
Yeah.
Kathy Burke, $5. Someone keeps saying they finished reading the bill overnight. Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Jody Nicholson, $10. Thank you. Mark McClendon, $5. If they have made all of these cuts to the stimulus, then why does it still cost $1.9 trillion? Have they added things we don't hear about?
Well, we don't know the final price tag yet. That's the bottom line. So, you know, they've kept that framework. And I think within that $1.9 trillion, they're shifting priorities. They're saying, okay, if we're going to remove $400 per week in unemployment and drop it down to $300, well, then guess what we'll do? We will make that child tax credit permanent so that it's not just 1 year. So there's like a lot of horse trading going on within that $1.9 trillion framework. We don't know what the final number will be, though. It could end up being 2.1, you know?
Susan Walker, member, welcome. Katie O'Brien, $2. Watch the movie trailer for Songbird. COVID-23. Nikki Grossman,
$5. COVID-23.
Yingling is some of the best beer. I love the Hershey they had out. Okay.
Ooh, I haven't tried the Hershey.
I love
a Hershey beer?
Yingling had Hershey beer.
Wow. Well, they have a port. They have a dark beer. I love Yingling. You know, it's one of my favorites. But and it's still one of the only beer companies in the United States that's actually a U.S. beer company. Like all of the other beer companies that people think are from the United States are not. They're sold. They were sold to InBev in like South Africa or something. So like Budweiser is not an American beer anymore.
Well, Yingling is such an American word if I've ever heard one.
Yingling. Well, it's the last name of Dick Yingling. It's the Yingling family. It goes back to the 1700s, actually. So the family is still owned by the family, the Yingling family.
I will say, though, if Hershey put out a chocolate stout, that'd probably be pretty damn good.
Yeah, I'd like to try that.
Claire Slanley, member, welcome. Joseph Lorenzo, new member. Talking Tax, $5. Clayton, I know I should know this answer, but I haven't found evidence of it. Is the 2020 returns being extended for this full year's filing?
Are the 2020 returns being extended for this year's filing? I think they were extended to July 15th. It's been the same as it was last year. So the 2020 returns went up to July 15th, 2020. If you're talking about 2021, because you said 2020, so that's why I was a little confused on what you, they have until June 15th, if I'm not mistaken. It's all the way to July, it's till June 15th this year. So last year, John, the 2020 returns, you were able to finish those up until July 15th. This year, it's up till June 15th, so you don't have to worry about that April 15th deadline this time. So you get that, what is it, May, June, two extra months to do your taxes this year. And by the way, like we talked about in the unemployment, we talked about before, like if you made more money this year, but you might want to hold off on filing your tax returns because if you don't think you're going to get the stimulus check now because you qualified to make too much money, you know, and you didn't last year, you might want to hold off on filing those tax returns.
Kevin Jacques, $1.99, shows I'm a member, but I can't write in chat. So try refreshing. That's the only thing I can tell you. That's a YouTube thing. So try refreshing and then make sure you're logged into the account that you purchased with. Sometimes you guys have accounts tied to your Google Pay that are different than what you've tied to your YouTube. And so you'll pay with Google Pay and you'll think you just purchased with that same account, but you didn't. So.
Paul wants to know, do you guys think that Biden will run for a second term? I mean, I think he said he's only going to do one, right? I mean, I haven't heard much discussion about that at all, by the way. And I think he's grooming Kamala Harris to run.
Donna Darshell Williams Durr, $2. Donna Wellman, Cadillac converters contain platinum. I did not know that.
Ah, interesting.
Seth Ingalls, $5. This is where you are changing my mind. The minimum wage should be 15. These companies make billions and we get crumbs. It's pathetic.
Yeah.
Barbara Bouton, new member. Nikki Bouchard, new member. Carla Vorel, new member. It's Tech, new member. Welcome. Alicia M, brain fog is terrible. I've had it for years, but mine is from gluten. I am celiac. I feel bad for people end up in brain fog. And then one last question. Independent thinker, $10. Yeah, I'm concerned about families, but I have no family, unemployed, worked 50 hours a week for 3 years and can't now with my heart condition, and we're going to get cut for what, not working hard enough. And then Melissa Elston Millard, a new member. Thank you. And that's it.
Thank you for all of your super chats. Thank you for all of your support, all of our new channel members today. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. Someone said they sent me a picture of a rabbit. Kathy Burke says she sent me pictures of her rabbits. I'll see if I can find it. I'll ask Garcia, my assistant, if she can pull that up and put them in a folder because we've got... you can send your pet photos, remember?
Yeah, make sure she's... Did she give her information to get into the pets account?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I gotta talk to her about that. So we just make sure we, yeah, so I don't see any pet. I got to look through and see if I have any rabbit photos in here. I don't see any rabbit photos. Grover would love to see some rabbit photos though. But
Get it.
He got it almost. Thanks everyone. We'll be back tonight at 9 PM. Eastern time, so be sure to subscribe to the channel and turn on that little bell notification. We'll have an update today on the stimulus, what happens on the vote, if they can get to a vote this afternoon, or if floor debate will continue, we'll see. They are working as hard as they can to try to get this done without much more Republican speed bumps in the way. So thank you, everyone. I really appreciate you joining us. Much love to all of you. Have a wonderful afternoon, and we will see you back here tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Take care, everyone.